Anyone here ever been bitten by a snake? By a poisonous snake? I was with a cousin once that was bitten by a snake. We were walking down a canyon road, and there was a rattler there. And he had an axe. And he was rather foolish in doing this, but he took off after that snake. And he came down with the axe at one time and cut it in two. And he cut off the last about third of the snake, and the first two-thirds bit him right on the hand. Now, a foolish person would perhaps chase that snake, finish it off. You want to get back. You ever been hurt by someone and you want to get back? In other words, he'll get his or she'll get hers. Any of you had that feeling in you? Now, what's hurting the person? The bite, certainly. But what's really going to do the damage? The poison coursing through the system as you chase that snake. Most important thing we can do when something negative or unhappy or miserable happens to us, suck that poison out. Because the value of health and the value of not aggravating, not magnifying the original hurt is a higher value than the value of getting back, getting even. But a lot of people don't do that. They get invested in the injury, the harm that has been done to them. And they even seek other people to validate them. We get together and we talk about what this person, let me hear your experience. You share yours. Then little by little, you can see a polarization or a separation take place inside a family, inside a business operation, where you have groups talking about other groups. How many can identify with this? See, the damage by far is our response to the hurt done to us. Visualize what a reactive and a proactive person are like. Any of you studied psychology in your schooling? What does SR stand for? Stimulus response. See, here's the stimulus, here's the response. Here's what happens to us, here's the response. That person has a program in them, and they're just reacting to it, see? That's the reactive person. The first habit, the habit of personal vision, separates the stimulus and the response. It gives us a vision, an awareness of ourself that we can choose. And between this stimulus and the response is our freedom to choose. Our greatest power in life is our power to choose. It's our freedom to choose, our greatest power. All other powers are energized by that one. All other powers in life, significant powers, powers that enable us to rise above animals, to rise outside mediocrity in the course of least resistance, and the powerful scripting of intergenerational tendencies that sometimes get into us, is this power to choose. It is our greatest single power. To sense that is part of this personal vision, to sense it. Just think about it. Think about any circumstance, any person. Do I have that power? Now, like any muscle, that power has to be developed. It could be dormant. It could be weak. Or it could be strong and active and energized and vibrant and powerful, see? That's what's exciting about the proactive muscle. It can be developed, become enormously strong. But there isn't a lot of support, really, in the theories of the world, the paradigms of the world. You know what the paradigms teach, the theories, the maps of the way life is? That we're determined, that we are scripted, that we are programmed. And we are. No one doubts that. We are programmed. The question is, do those programs determine us or do they just influence us? If they influence us, we can choose our response to the influence. There's three fundamental theories widely accepted of determinism. One, genetic determinism. Genetic determinism. This means your grandparents did it to you. You inherited tendencies. It has nothing to do with how you were socialized or raised in this situation, in your childhood. But it was put into the DNA molecules, the chromosomal structure of your genes, see? A lot of people believe that deeply. Now remember, I'm not questioning whether those things influence us. They may give us many of our natural gifts and talents and maybe even our personality dispositions. The question is, do they determine us? Yeah, I've just got a short fuse. Just seems to go through the generations. My father did, and his father before him. I don't know. Just something I guess I've inherited. That's the way I am. Another theory widely accepted, we could call psychic determinism. That basically means your parents did it to you. Or in other words, your upbringing, your childhood experiences. They essentially laid out your personal tendencies and your character structure. The child is father to the man, embodies that philosophy. See, the child, the first 5, 6, 7 years of childhood, lay out your personality and your character structure that's going to last a lifetime. The child is father to the man. It's the idea, see? How many have heard that? Person who believes it, you know, would probably produce the evidence to support the belief. It's called a self-fulfilling prophecy. They did it to me, see? That's my limitation. Now look, I'm arguing for my limitation. It's mine. Look at the evidence I've got. You agree with me. Argue for your limitations, argue for your weaknesses, and they're yours. They're self-fulfilling prophecies. Self-maps, these self-paradigms. Prophecies you make of yourself. Argue for them, they're yours. Third, the environment's doing it to us. Our boss is doing it to us. My spouse, that bratty teenager, is undoing me. It's the lack of cooperation of the other department. Those people don't understand at all what we're dealing with here. Listen to the language. If you ever wrap your emotional life around the weaknesses of another person, you have empowered those weaknesses to control you. Listen to the language, see? The concept of personal vision is that you've got tremendous potential within you. And that potential is undeveloped, but you can develop it. You're a self-aware person. You're free to choose your response. Now, do you want to really develop your potential? This undiscovered world that you yourself don't know about and perhaps no one else does either? Start exercising your freedom and act on the basis of your values. Not on the basis of conditions or feelings. Let decisions, choices, not conditions, drive us. See, if I can say I'm not responsible, I am psychologically safe. I'm not responsible. But to say I'm now responsible, I am able to choose my response, then I have either one of two options. I either handle it responsibly or irresponsibly. See, I could take an assignment. I did it. Didn't work. Didn't work. You know, what do you want me to do now? I'm not responsible. But the proactive person is responsible to get the job done, whatever the job is, see? See, if I tend to say, well, you know, this sounds good, this proactivity idea, but boy, I know some people that are so programmed and so scripted, they're not even aware at all of this capacity. What's happening already to my head about that person? See? I could start absolving them of responsibility in my mind. Do I, being proactive, see themselves as capable of being proactive? That's the first step, is to see them as capable of being responsible for themselves. In fact, one time I said to my son, "Son, I asked you to do this. You said you would, and you didn't. Now, why are you so irresponsible?" He said, "Dad, That's how irresponsible people act. See? If I do that enough, I'm in a self-fulfilling prophecy. I am producing the evidence that supports my label. To look at the evidences of proactivity or reactivity is simply to listen to language. To listen to language. It's like a fingerprint. It's like a barometer. It's a measurement instrument. It's the language of the soul. Now you tell me, is this reactive or proactive language? Ugh, he makes me so mad. See, obviously, he makes me so mad. I've just transferred responsibility. My emotional life is now governed by him. It just bugs me. Oh, it just undoes me. See? Look how that person has empowered that other person to control him.